between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. And through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, that has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, that has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my
church. Why don't we worship together here in this place?
Hey! what a group of songs this morning, huh? Woo! That's going to get the Holy Spirit moving. All those songs, I'm pretty sure that most of you probably have sung those songs in your churches before, in your worship groups, or been to a church that sings those songs, or you're singing them right now. I know that there's a lot of people in the chat who are in worship teams in their churches. And it's really nice to see so many people involved in music to the Lord. For a very long time, I was in the worship team in our church, but unfortunately, this business and this job got so incredibly busy. It demanded so much of my time that I couldn't, I couldn't practice with the team, and I couldn't be there outside of just like showing up to do the music in the mornings on Sunday. So I had a great time when I was up in the worship team. I played drums. Not only did I do drums, I did other percussion instruments, tambourines, things like that. Kept the beat going. Microphone, sang with the worship team. And those songs that you just heard are all songs that we did in our worship team. So I know there's a lot of you guys who do those songs as well, and I know they just they bring back so many great memories, you know. Amanda admitting to guilty bad thoughts, feeling guilty for bad thoughts. Well, you know what, we're going to talk about that today, as the show is titled Feeling Guilt. Now we have about 1,000 people watching right now. I want to say good morning to each and every one of you. I see that we've got a one of our newcomers yesterday. River Rat came back again today. So obviously the Lord is reaching out through Rise Up. The Lord is reaching out through those Rapture Ready, Rise Up Live from America audience members, family members in the chat. And bringing new people in is always really good, because we get new perspectives, we get new stories, we get new testimonies, and we add to the movement, which is a Jesus revolution. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what we're doing here every day. We're doing what Jesus commanded his followers to do, and that is spread the gospel to all of creation. I even, you know, it's funny, is I took that a little bit, maybe I took it a little too far. I don't know, but about a week ago, I was thinking of that, you know, spreading the gospel to all of creation, and I was literally preaching the word to my dog. Preaching the word to my dog, as if my dog understood me. But I'm like, you know what? God made my dog. So, you know, it does say preach the gospel to all of creation. So I was literally petting my dog while I was saying scripture to my dog. So I hope it works, right? I'm preaching to all of creation, not just human beings. I'm preaching to trees. I'm preaching to the grass. I'm preaching to dogs and cats. Anyway, if you guys do that, let me know as well, so I don't feel like I'm the only crazy one here. I tell my cats, see, there you go. There you go. River Rat, great handle. Glad you're back. Now you're family. Amen. Amen. We've done that too. Okay, good. So it's not just me. All of creation, right? LOL, Parish Place says, my dog always wants to go to church with us. Splendor Faith says, I do that to my dog too, Jeremy, as God gave us dominion over them. I read my Bible while petting my dog. My dog listens now. My daughter's 40th birthday is today. Her name is Carrie with a K. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Carrie. Happy birthday to you. Happy 40th birthday. 40 years young. Amazing. I listen when I can't sleep, says Diana. Nothing wrong with that, Jamie Castro. Well, thank you very much. Okay. Well, as we get into today's show, I've got a lot of stuff to tell you about, a lot to update you with my mom. Thank you guys very much for being so incredibly awesome yesterday during my Live from America hour, and still being here and watching. Both Mike Crispy and Will Johnson did such a great job. So thank you to those guys yesterday. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll get into what today's show is about, and I'll tell you a story or two, and we'll get through this very, very fast hour with a lot of information, and we'll leave you a little bit better than you were before you came, right? All right. Please remove your headphones if you're wearing them, and your hats if you're wearing them, and let's give respect and honor to God with these beautiful, beautiful, wonderful cherry blossoms behind me, right? All right, folks, here we go. Lord God, Father in heaven, creator of all, bringer of lights, giver of salvation and mercy, it is such a wonderful thing that you gave us with free will to be able to have discernment, to be able to examine ourselves, our souls daily, and find out where we need to improve and where we're lacking. And today's topic, guilt. Guilt is one of those two-way streets, one of those double-edged swords. It's we need to have guilt, but at the same time, we need to let go of guilt. So today, as we talk about guilt, where it benefits us and where we need to let it go so it's not an anchor, please bring discernment into our lives to everybody who's watching and listening today. Help us reach out there and bring more souls in that have been praying to hear the message of God and the message of Jesus and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the new folks who've come in, the newcomers who've come in and stayed because your message is what they've been dying to hear. Maybe they were guilty. Maybe they felt guilty about something and they were seeking you and this is where they found you. And we thank you for that. Lord, please be with us today as we talk about this. Be among us as we have fellowship and as we have congregation. And we sing songs of worship to you, Lord. And we thank you so very much for your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Eli, got another one in there. We got some bots. That's okay. Bots are trying to get salvation too. Who wouldn't want salvation from Lord Mighty God? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I want to get into an update on yesterday. So as most of you know, yesterday was our first of what we thought would be many appointments, and we were somewhat right, with the surgeon who's overseeing my mom's lung cancer. And a lot of you have been praying for so long for me and my family. Our prayers, obviously, are going up to God. And of course, you know, all of our requests are only in accordance with God's will. So going to the hospital yesterday, that's what I was thinking about. Like, no matter what we find out today, it's according to God's will. And it's for a reason. Now, there was an amazing God learning moment for my mother over the last 2 days that I cannot wait to tell you about. On Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, my mom was over at our house for dinner. And as we're eating dinner, we're talking about God. And my mom asked that very age-old question, why does God, if God is in charge of everything and God oversees everything, God knows your past, present, and future, God has a plan for you, everything's going to be according to his will anyway. She said, why do people get sick? And why do innocent babies and children get sick and die with cancer or die before they even have a moment to live? And I said, well, Mom, that is a very, very, very popular question that people that are seeking God ask and people that are trying to debunk God ask. And it's a very difficult, long-winded answer. But if you want the short and skinny of it, it comes down to this. It is very easy for us to make a judgment over a specific event or scenario or situation. However, we're not looking at it from God's view. We're looking at it from a very limited, very temporary, and very finite human point of view. So our reaction to it, our judgment of it is very, very tiny and very, very misunderstood in most cases. But if you look at things from God's view, you see, oh, if this didn't happen, maybe all of this wouldn't have happened. Maybe if this child's death, before this child got a chance to live, maybe if it didn't happen, the family wouldn't have come back together and united over this tragedy. And maybe, just maybe, that saved countless lives. We just don't know. But what we do know is everything has a purpose. And I said, and what we're doing when we ask that question, Mom, is we're looking at one paragraph in one chapter of one big book. And it's until we get to the end, we might not understand why that happened in paragraph number 5 in chapter 2, 10 chapters ago. So it was very hard for my mom to understand that until yesterday. And there's a reason why I laid the foundation of this story, of this update, with that story. Because yesterday, we went in to meet with the surgeon for the first time for my mom's lung cancer. And I got to tell you, the surgeon was a very, very kind, compassionate, sympathetic, well-mannered, articulate, wonderful man. He was probably the best person you could have to sit down. Imagine this job as a surgeon, as the, maybe one of the head surgeons of the hospital for this kind of thing. Imagine this job. Imagine what you must have to present yourself like on a daily basis to people, because this is a very difficult topic to talk to people about. It is their life or death, right? So as we talked to the surgeon about what remedies there are for this, she also had to have a pulmonary test before this, because based on her ability to recover and her breathing at a normal, it would determine which route we went, obviously, with treatment. So my mom's lungs and her ability for her air to actually reach her bloodstream and her ability to breathe and hold breath and push out heavy are so low that she probably would not recover well, if at all, from surgery, from them going in and cutting out a quarter of her lung, by the way. Now, the good news is that this cancer, even though it's gotten bigger, it's still in an early stage and it's not reached the lymph node system yet, so it's not spread. And we could easily go in there and cut it out, but her lungs are so weak that she may not ever recover, and she may have to breathe through her neck with some kind of tracheotomy type thing for the rest of her life. So the doctor said but the good news is it's placed right here. It's very isolated. It doesn't need chemo. We can get rid of this problem. Very simple. We need you to come in for a week, 1 hour a day. And it's not even an hour of treatment. It's an hour from the time you get to the hospital and time till the time you leave. 5 times, maybe 7 times. That's it. And we can isolate and eradicate this cancer with just short bursts of radiation, not chemo. It's not that advanced. It's not that difficult. We can get you in. We can get this done. We can get you out. We can cure this problem. We can send you home far better than when you came to us. So my mom thought she was going to need surgery because she didn't want to have chemo. Well, the good news is it wasn't as advanced for her to have chemo. The second good news is that it can be done without surgery, without major recovery time. She'll get a sunburn-size red spot on her skin, and they said they should be able to eradicate it. Very, very simple. Talk about great news. And she quit smoking. She's been done smoking. She hasn't smoked a cigarette since they told her it was definitely cancer. She hasn't smoked a cigarette, no chemo, no recovery time, no surgery, no risk, no anesthesia problems, just simple bam, 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 radiation. The best news we could possibly have gotten for this situation. God is good. And I want to thank you all for your prayers. Very, very happy that this was the outcome. Literally the best outcome you could have, other than Sorry, April Fools, it's not cancer, right? So the reason why I told you this story first about the babies and the children dying and my mom wondering why God allowed that to happen and me telling her that you don't see the bigger picture is obviously something more than you can fathom or understand in the moment. Get this, folks. Had my mom not gotten pneumonia, walking pneumonia and bronchitis 3 months ago and been hospitalized for it because of her COPD, because of her smoking, we would have never known that she had cancer until it was too late. We would have never known because nothing, she was experiencing no symptoms outside of her COPD and having a hard time breathing because of her smoking. She was experiencing no symptoms. So had she not got bronchitis, had she not gotten pneumonia, had she not been hospitalized, had she not been had to be have breathing assistance for 5 days, had she not had to been in the hospital for 7 days, she would have not gotten a CAT scan, she would have not gotten a PET scan, she would have not gotten any of this stuff. Nobody would have ever known. The cancer would have metastasized. The cancer would have got into her lymph node system probably within the year. She probably would have died in very short period of time because her lungs and her body is just not as strong as it used to be. However, ladies and gentlemen, we didn't see the bigger picture. My mom didn't see the bigger picture, and she didn't understand what I meant by that. And I said, okay, mom, let's go back 3 months ago when you were in the hospital. Let's go back 3 months ago when your fingertips and your lips were turning blue because your oxygen levels were at 79. Let's go back 3 months ago when my sister had to bring you to the hospital and me and my brother showed up and you couldn't get two words in between breaths because you were on this massive machine that was Velcroed to your head and cutting into your eyes and you could barely see us. Let's go back 3 months ago when you told me to throw those cigarettes away and that you don't want to die and that you want God in your life. Let's go back 3 months ago. Imagine if we were back 3 months ago and I walked into that hospital room and we said, thank God we're here. Imagine if you went back 3 months ago during that moment when you thought you were going to die and you were taking breaths so quickly that you couldn't get a word or two out in between. Imagine you said, thank you, Lord, for this. This is awesome. She said, I would have never said that. I said, I know, because you didn't see the bigger picture. You didn't understand what God had in store for you. You didn't see how God was working, and God was working behind the scenes to get you into the hospital. He allowed you to get sick. He allowed you to go to the hospital so that you could get these scans done, so that you could find out that you had this cancer growing inside of you so that you could get rid of it and eradicate it before it spreads and you die. He gave you more time. He gave you more time to come to him. You have to understand, folks, the reason why bad things happen on this world is because of sin. The reason why bad things happen in this world is because of Adam and Lucifer. It's not going to change. The world is decaying. The world is dying, but there is salvation in the Lord. There is freedom, and there is a way out of this with God. And he just proved it right there by giving my mom more time to come to him. The bigger picture is always, always filled with so much more information than you could possibly see in the moment, which is why we thank God for the trials, which is why we pray for them. Because during those trials, we learn something about ourselves. God kept my mom from more than she could handle. God kept me and my family away from more than we could handle with my mom dying so suddenly. Do you understand? Now, I need some Field of Greens after that. I'll read some. This brings tears of joy, said CQ. Sass says, amen. Jesus is so good. Sure is. Miranda says, praise you, Lord. Right? The best news we could possibly have gotten, given the situation that we're in. SL20, I am so very sorry to hear that. I really am. And I tried to put myself in my mother's shoes last night or yesterday. I tried to think about if I was being pushed around the hospital in a wheelchair so I could avoid walking that far in a huge hospital like Dartmouth. I tried to think about if it was me who was dying of cancer and what I would do. What route would I go of treatment? What would I feel like? Would I lean on the Lord just as much as I'm leaning on the Lord right now? And I got to say the answer is 100% yeah. 100% yeah. I'm going to be cracking jokes when I'm dying, you know, because, hey, I know what's in store, and I hope you all do too. Now, feeling guilt. I really want to touch on this today, and I want you to open up your newsletters. Everybody should have gotten a newsletter. I sent them out to everybody this morning, and I just want to kind of give you a brief overview here. Rise Up, episode 327, guilt. It's a doozy. We need it for discernment and need to let go of it for sanity and salvation. The classic damned if you do, damned if you don't scenario. Let's discuss this popular topic. And please, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you're signed in so that you can rumble this video and chat in the live chat. And please make sure you share out the link. I'm going to open up the verse of the day right now. So if you have yours, please open it up with me. Thank you very much. And I'll get right into it here. I said, hello, it's Tuesday. It's a blessed day. Life is precious. How much more precious is the word of God than our own lives? Why do we sin? Why do we rebel against God knowing what we're doing? Why does it hurt when we do it? Today we'll discuss guilt, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And for this, you're going to want to open up your Bibles to Psalm 53, 3 through 8. Again, that's Psalm 53, 3 through 8. Now, I know everybody, Aussie Mom says, how do I get the newsletter? Go to jeremyharrell.com, scroll down to the bottom of the first page, and it says, join the Revolution newsletter. And it's not just the newsletter that you get discount codes for the merchandise on the store and so much more, okay? Psalm 53, 3 through 8. Again, I know all of you have different versions, so you may all get a different variation of what I'm reading, but what I'm reading to you from is the complete Jewish Bible, the Messianic Bible. Psalm 53, verse 3. God, in your grace, have mercy on me. In your great passion, blot out my crimes. Wash me completely from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my crimes. My sin confronts me all the time. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil from your perspective, so that you are right in accusing me and justified in passing sentence. True, I was born guilty, was a sinner from the moment my mother conceived me. Still, you want truth in the inner person. So make me know wisdom in my inmost heart. That's David. That is King David feeling the weight of the guilt from what he did with Bathsheba, sending Bathsheba's husband, his own friend, to die. And then had a baby with her. Excuse me, you're right, Psalm 51. I so much apologize, folks. It's Psalm 51, 3 through 8, not 53, 3 through 8. I'm very sorry. That's a typo on my part. So you might want to just go back two chapters, Psalm 51. This is David, ladies and gentlemen, when Nathan the prophet came to him after his affair with Bathsheba. And that's and here's the thing about Nathan too. Nathan confronts David and says, "You sinned against the Lord. You did this, and now your son will be taken from you." Psalm 51, not 53, yes, 51, 3 through 8. And David is crushed under the weight of this guilt. Not only the guilt itself in what he did, in the sins that he committed, the people he hurt, the child that's now dead, or will be dead. Imagine the guilt, and it's all because of what he did. The guilt was eating David alive. I'm sure you've had moments where guilt of something is absolutely eating you alive. What does that do to you? You can't do anything. It's hard to go to work. It's hard to keep up with the same normal everyday routine. You don't eat. You lose weight. You become unhealthy. You get headaches. You're constantly feeling sick to your stomach because of the fact that you're not eating and the fact that your anxiety and your worry is here. Guilt leads to worrying, and then you're worrying about what you've done, who you've hurt, how you're going to get out of it. Some people have so much guilt and worry that they don't even want to confront it. They just allow themselves to have guilt and worry, and that leads to depression. Guilt is like the catalyst of so many bad things to come in people's lives. And all they have to do is confront that guilt and realize, I did wrong. Katie says, guilt is horrible. It sure is. But it's also wonderful, isn't it? Jennifer says, guilt is wasted emotion and solves nothing and helps no one. It sure doesn't. But there's a moment in time where it's a benefit to you. Because without that guilt, without that feeling, you'll just fall down into an abyss of many more problems and you won't even know how to confront it. Julie Green spoke on this morning, said T. Mitchell. How about that? It's funny how me and Julie are always in lockstep. Guilt brings repentance. River Rat, you're new here. You're new here. How are you getting the comment of the day? That's exactly right. That's why I said it's a benefit. T. Mitchell says, no, it is a sin. Yeah, it is a sin if you don't confront it. But if you don't have guilt, how are you ever going to know what's going on? You got to feel guilt over things you've done wrong. Because that guilt, once you recognize it and confront it, then it becomes repentance and conviction and all of that. I think that's the difference. Guilt and conviction, that guilt solves nothing. Conviction has a different outcome. Amen. Amen. Now let's get into what I wrote about today's message. When guilt hits you, it first hits you in the gut. Then it moves to your heart. Then it moves to your brain. Then it comes out in the form of tears. Guilt is an anchor. But the feeling of guilt, that initial feeling, not the giving into it. I'm talking about that initial feeling as a Christian. Oh, that's a blessing. You might say, well, how? How is that a blessing? Well, because it means that the Holy Spirit is at work in you, and you may not even know it. That feeling of what the world calls guilty conscience is the Spirit of God working to course correct you in order to be in line with God's path and His will for you. Because that feeling of guilt will lead to conviction, which will lead to repentance. Con means with, and science means knowledge. That means you are born with knowledge, even though you were born into sin. God's commands are written on your hearts, regardless if you are a believer or not. This is why we should love everyone. Because the Spirit of God is available to everyone because of this inherent knowledge of good and evil. Embrace your guilt. When you get that first feeling of, oh man, embrace that feeling. Don't just give into it. Embrace it and then confront it. Right away. Give it to Jesus to conquer it. And let go of it today. If you don't acknowledge that guilt and step up and say, Jesus, conquer this for me, then you are just going to, it's going to be a domino effect of things that happen in your life, and you may not even know it's happening. You may say, you know what, I don't feel guilty about that. I don't even care. You can't say, I don't care your way into joy. You can't ignore something and say, you know what, I'm not going to feel guilty of it because I shouldn't have to, because that person did that. Or this situation, it wasn't my fault, so I'm not going to feel guilty of it. Shouldn't have happened in the first place. That person shouldn't have been there. They shouldn't have said what they said. Maybe they should have thought twice about saying that to me. If you just let go of your guilt that way, you're not really letting go of it. All you're doing is sweeping it under the rug. You have to let go of guilt by confronting it and say, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of this. I did this. I'm not going to sit here every day and let this eat up, especially ones that are done in secret. What about the guilty stuff that's done in secret that nobody but God will ever know about? So you apologize to God, but do you not apologize to those that it would have hurt had they known about it? There's that too, those secret guilty pleasures. Who would it have hurt if they'd known about it? Eileen, that's right. You can't ignore your way into joy. It doesn't happen. You've got to confront this stuff. You've got to be convicted of it. You've got to be aware of it. You've got to repent of it. And you've got to apologize for it, not just to God, but the people that would have hurt had they known you were even doing it. That kind of guilt. Give it to Jesus and let Jesus conquer it today. 100%. Now, I know all of you have felt guilt or feel guilty about something right now. I do. And you might say to yourself, I can't go to Jesus with this. No way. No way. I got to stop doing it first. Then I'll go to Jesus. Wrong. I got to clean up my act. Then I'll go to Jesus. Wrong. I can't go to Jesus looking like this. I was just looking at porn yesterday. I wasn't. I'm just saying in a hypothetical scenario. I was just looking at porn yesterday. I can't go to Jesus with that. I got to stop looking at the porn, then go to Jesus. No, wrong. And I'm going to show you why. I got a nice little video saved for you here, folks. Couldn't wait to show you this one today. Here we go. Check this out. You do not straighten out your life and come to Christ. You come to Christ and He will straighten out your life. You do not get your act together and come to Christ. You come to Christ and He will help you get your act together. See that? You see that? T. Mitchell says, I feel mostly guilty I didn't bring my dad out of the hospital when he told me they are killing me. That's a big one. That's a hard, hard one to let go of right there. Let me ask you this. Was your dad a believer? If your dad was a believer, maybe the last thing that he needed to do was get that truth out to you about that facility or about that hospital. Maybe the knowledge that he departed with was a message directly from God to you about what to be aware of with these medical facilities and these medical professionals. I don't know. But again, remember, we only read one paragraph of one chapter. Grammy Love says, I feel extremely guilty when I took my mood out on you, Jeremy. I thank God for grace and forgiveness and still sorry to you and repented to God. Guess what? Do you know how many people I take my mood out on in the live chat? People that have watched for years. Some people that I probably go too hard on too quick and then they never come back because I hurt their feelings. I live with that all the time too. I always apologize to them and to God. A lot of them won't come back and forgive me, but you know, we're human. I hate it. Every second of it. It is what it is. Can't dwell on it. Can't have guilty conscience about it. The guilt is what makes me recognize it, which makes me look at myself, examine myself. I'm convicted by the Holy Spirit. I repent to God. And I move on to the next day. But I'll tell you this, I have found treasures in the trials. I do look at things like I've been telling you lately, and I'm like, oh, I'm ready for this. Bring it. Let's see what I can handle next, right? They did kill him. Pneumonia double. They used COVID protocol year before COVID. Well, T. Mitchell, look for the trials and those, or the treasures in those trials, and give that guilt to Jesus today. You didn't kill him. They did. You can't feel guilty about somebody else's sin. And you did what you thought was right. You didn't do what you thought was wrong. Then you can feel guilty. It's when you do something that you know is wrong, that's when you have to feel guilty. But when you didn't do anything wrong and you thought you were doing right, you can't feel guilty about that. You really can't. Who's ready for a confession session? Huh? Because that's what you do when you feel guilty. MDUS says, I feel guilty every time I drink alcohol. Even though it's one drink, been quite a while since the last time I wake up asking for forgiveness. Are you an alcoholic, MDUS? Because I like to sip on a craft beer every once in a while or taste a craft bourbon every once in a while. I don't get drunk. But if you're an alcoholic and susceptible to be a drunkard, then yeah, I understand that you're feeling about that. I understand that. 100%. All right, confession session time, folks. Guilt is a powerful emotion. Guilt can be painful when it's gnawing away at our cowardly consciences, pressing us toward the freeing act of confession. When King David wrote the psalm that I read today, he was experiencing guilt at its worst. His sin with Bathsheba was on his mind constantly. He was confronted by the prophet Nathan and finally saw what a horrible thing he had done. David needed to have a confession session. When we sin, it's never in a vacuum. We hurt both ourselves and others. But the greatest offense of our sin is against God. When we go against his loving will for us, disobeying his commands, it grieves his loving heart and ours too. To deal with guilt in a way that pleases God, we need our own confession session times, a time of agreeing with him that we have sinned and that we need his forgiveness, that we feel guilt and we need his forgiveness. Next, we must confess to the person whom we've sinned against. That's the hard one, isn't it? That's the hard one, isn't it? If you can muster up the courage to confess to God, then you should definitely be able to muster up the courage to confess to a human. And this goes for me too. I'm convicting myself in real time as we speak of some of this. Got to. It's the only way to get over the guilt, folks. Only then will our confession session result in the freedom of a clear conscience. Con means with, Science means knowledge. I have a video here to show you from Frank Turek called Guard Your Heart. And I've seemed to lost contact with Frank Turek. I had his number a while back, but I haven't been able to reach out to him lately. I will be reaching back out to Ray and Ken Ham now that they're back in the States to get them back on the show here. But I'd like to play this video called Guarding Your Heart. Here we go.
Follow your heart. Do whatever your heart tells you to do. Is that really a good idea? There are at least three reasons why it's not only unwise, but it's actually impossible to consistently follow your heart. Reason number one, our hearts are deceitful and selfish. The prophet Jeremiah said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Take a minute and just ask yourself, is it easier to be bad or good? Do you have to work at being selfish or selfless? You don't have to teach a two-year-old to say mine. You have to teach a two-year-old to share. Why? Because human nature is selfish from birth. Our hearts are also deceptive. They deceive us into thinking we must have something and we must have it now. It's only after it's too late that we experience the awful consequences of blindly following our impulses. The truth is, if we follow our hearts without wisdom and moral restraint, we will, by nature, act in very selfish and destructive ways. And we can't train or educate ourselves out of this situation either. As C.S. Lewis wisely observed, education without values, as useful as it is, seems rather to make man a more clever devil. Reason number two, our hearts are conflicting. Our hearts are not only selfish and deceitful, they are also conflicting. Notice that we often have two hearts warring within us. We want that shiny new car, but we don't want the debt. We want to get married, but we still want to be free to play the field. We want to have children, but we don't want the responsibility. So which heart are you going to follow? Since we are often conflicted, the road to happiness will require us to say no to many of our heart's desires. Author John Mark Comer put it brilliantly, "Giving in to the desires of our flesh does not lead us to freedom in life, as many people assume, but instead to slavery and, in the worst case scenario, addiction, which is a kind of prolonged suicide by pleasure." The third reason is our hearts are changing. Do you have all the same desires you had 20 years ago, 10 years ago? How about 5 years ago? Not completely, because your heart changes and grows. This is especially true of the young. Kids go through phases because puberty is one big, long transition from child to adult. It's normal to feel odd during that time, but hearts change. Did you know that about 80% of young teens who experience true gender dysphoria grow out of it by the time they're 18? So why would anyone permanently disfigure and sterilize a child by encouraging them to follow an immature heart that will probably change on its own very soon? Real Time host Bill Maher drove this part home, saying when he was a kid, "I wanted to be a pirate. Thank God no one scheduled me for eye removal and peg leg surgery." Question, what should we do with our hearts? King Solomon was nearly led to despair by blindly following his heart. He wrote this urgent proverb, "Above all else, guard your heart because everything you do flows from it." Guard your heart by seeking wisdom and eternal hope from God. Otherwise, your selfish, conflicting, and changing heart will often take you down the wrong path.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, don't follow your heart. Follow Jesus. Don't follow your gut. Follow Jesus. Don't follow the popular opinion in the crowd. Turn around and follow Jesus. Jesus never said, follow your heart. Jesus never said, trust in your heart. Jesus said, trust in me Jesus said, follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you cannot do that if you're weighed down by guilt. A lot of you are baptized. A lot of you are living a Christian life, with the exception of a couple guilty pleasures and a couple of guilty secrets that you don't want to say you're sorry about, because if you did, you might have to own up to them in front of someone else. But again, I ask, if you can open up to them in front of God, then why can't you open up about them to a human being? Jeremy, it might break my marriage. There's some guilty secrets I have that I've never told anyone. I'd rather have salvation in the consequences of my actions than not have salvation and keep secrets from humans who can't save me. And in real time, I'm thinking about the things that I have might be guilty of or that I've done that nobody knows about yet. I can't really come up with any at the moment because I tell everybody everything about my life, but I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is. I know that there's some other things that aren't guilty secrets that I'm still guilty of that I need to stop feeling guilty about and just nail it to the cross. You know what I mean? T. Mitchell says, I want to make Jesus proud. Imagine that. Imagine that. You wake up every day and you say, I got to make you proud today. So I got to do what you would do and make you happy. Amazing. Eagle says, because confronting the dirty secrets to God won't come back to haunt you in your earthly endeavors. True that. Or won't they? Or won't they? We just don't see it yet. Right? Those secrets will come out after you die, so don't keep them. Confess. Man. You know, I thought about that back when I was being bad in my life. I thought about, wow, if I died right now and my girlfriend or my wife in the beginning of our marriage or anything like that, before Jesus, if they got my phone and looked through my phone or my social media, but I'd be dead, so what would I care, right? That's what I was thinking at that time. I don't want to leave people with any kind of hurt or any kind of surprise that might hurt them. I just don't want to do that. Miranda says, nail it and leave it. Woo! Amazing. Nail it and leave it. Well, folks, time to get ready to close out the show as we got 3 minutes left. So let me read something to you on your way out. Worry, which is a product of guilt. Job 11:18. You will rest safe and secure, filled with hope, and emptied of worry. Matthew 6:28-29. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. God knows that worries can easily overwhelm us. That's why he tells us not to worry. And encourages us to trust in him. When our concerns are in his hands, they're in the right place. Father, this life provides an endless source of worry and guilt. Thank you for being the source of endless peace. I rest in your care. Amen. I want to ask you this. I asked my mom this yesterday and she answered no. Have you ever felt joy? Not happiness, but joy. My mom asked what the difference was, and I told her. And I said, joy is a feeling that's better feeling than you feel when you have children. When your child comes out, it's a miracle. Joy is even better than that. And the first time I ever felt joy was standing in line at a convenience store at a gas station to get a cold sandwich out of a cooler. I felt joy in that moment more than my kids are being born. Even more at that moment than I did when I gave my soul to Christ. It was about a month or two later, I felt joy that is everlasting. And my mom said, I've never felt that. And I said, well, you will when you're rapture ready. I hope you guys are rapture ready today. Ladies and gentlemen, I love you. Thank you for being here. Mike Crispy and Unafraid comes up next. Hope you stick around to watch it. And then 2 hours of Live from America right after that. I love you guys. God bless you and have a great morning. See you later.